Let me invite you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. I ran out of missionary letters and announcements, so we'll get right to the lesson tonight. And I won't promise you'll get out early. You never know. But Hebrews chapter 11, this is, I think, for a lot of you, the chapter you know the best in the book of Hebrews, and one maybe you've been looking forward to reaching this point, and now we are here, and I have been anticipating getting to this chapter with great expectation and joy, because it's a wonderful what I want to call it. It's just a lot of testimonies of people from the Old Testament and how we see faith working out in their lives. So we're going to read just verses 1, 2, and 3, and then maybe something from verse 6. That's sort of what we want to deal with tonight. So verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And that's what our text will be tonight. But there's a kind of a central verse, at least in the first section of this chapter, and that would be verse number 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so we're going to talk about basically what faith is, like what it, you know, I think it's more of a description than a definition of faith. We see a description of how faith operates and what faith does and how it affected people's lives. And that's the description. We know that without it, we cannot please God. And so it's important that we do that. So we're going to look at the kind of faith that pleases God. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll give you some thoughts on that. Our Father, we come now to ask for your blessing, for your help, and that you would increase our faith as we study this great chapter. Lord, we ask that you would once again teach our hearts, and please, Lord, make the lessons stick with us, that we would not just quickly forget this, but may it touch our lives in such a way that it would, Lord, affect us for the rest of our eternity, really, and especially our life here on earth. Lord, when we get to heaven, I don't know, I guess we won't need faith. We'll walk by sight at that point. But right now, we need to walk by faith, and so help us, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's something unique about this chapter in the sense that it's an entire chapter with one subject. And that's not often found in the Bible. And so it kind of gives you an idea of another chapter that is an entire chapter on one subject would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What's the subject of that chapter? Someone just shouted out.
Love.
Love, that's right. It's a great love chapter of the Bible. So if there's an entire chapter about love, then you would say God must really want us to know some things about love. And there's an entire chapter about faith. So that would, again, indicate that faith is something that's very important. Who can think of another chapter that is really an entire chapter on one subject? I'm thinking of one other one. Cameron? Psalm 119, yeah. That's not even the one I was thinking of, but it is. And that's a long chapter, isn't it? It's the longest one in the Bible, but it's all about the Word of God. Yeah. Every verse in there talks about the Word of God, the law, the principles, the statutes. All of those things are another term for the Scripture. Can anybody else think of one, maybe the one I was thinking of? Chris?
Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53. What's the subject of that? Sure. It probably, I'm going to pause a minute before I say this, but I think probably it's the clearest Old Testament chapter in which you can see the gospel. You know, it talks about the death of Christ so vividly in that chapter that he bore our griefs and our sorrows. And of course, it talks about us like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. So you guys are coming up with ones that I didn't even think of. Anybody else think of one? Maybe I'll get it more. Psalm 23? Yeah? That's all about our shepherd, isn't it? You guys are good. Okay. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 15. Anybody know the subject of that chapter? It's about the resurrection. It's the resurrection chapter of the Bible. So there are chapters and that, you know, are so dear and kind of precious in that way, because when you want to know about love, you go to 1 Corinthians 13. Although there's many, many other places, you know, that wouldn't be, you could learn even more about love as you study through the Bible. You can learn more about faith as you study through the Bible. But here we have in one nice, very condensed section, a lot packed in here about the subject of faith. And this chapter has been rightly called called Faith's Hall of Fame, because, you know, it's kind of like you think about a Hall of Fame. You know, in my mind, I think about like a big wall with pictures on it, you know, of old people or something, of, you know, some famous people. And basically, that's what you kind of have here, because you go down, you start with Abel, and then you see Abraham, and you walk a little farther, you see, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and then Moses, and then, you know, on through, and so you see their portraits, and they're hanging there because of what God did in their lives through faith. I skipped over Noah even, and Enoch, and some others that are in here. But one of the things you kind of see is that this is way later in my notes, but it seems to make sense to tell you this now. These folks here. I guess I'll skip this point later. Verse 2, it says, "For by it meaning faith, the elders obtained a good report." And when I was reading that and thinking about that this time, I thought about, you know, we will be one day in heaven not because of our good deeds. We'll be in heaven because of what? Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And these people in this chapter are not in this chapter because of their good deeds or their great works. They're in this chapter because of their faith. And so we see here that God worked in their lives specifically because of their faith. In Matthew chapter 9, I won't have you turn to this one, but maybe I'll get you to go to Mark chapter 6. Well, I'm talking a little bit about Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was, there was a blind man that came to the Lord to receive his sight. And he had come by faith, obviously. You know, he didn't come by sight. He was blind, you know. But he came by faith. And he said, you know, the Lord, when he asked the blind man, "What do you want me to do?" Well, you know, the answer seemed a little obvious. He said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said this. He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." I remember reading Charles Spurgeon said one time, what if that was always what the Lord said, you know, "According to your faith, be it unto you." How much would there be unto you if it was only according to your faith? In other words, you know, if our faith is small, then whatever is unto us might be rather small if it was proportioned by our faith. But in Mark chapter 6, you'll notice there, I think it's toward the front of the chapter, Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, and it tells us that, you know, while he was there, he didn't do very many mighty works. Let me catch up. Well, that's a long chapter. Mark chapter 6. There we are. In verse 2, he goes to the synagogue, as his custom was, and he began to teach. And they were astonished. And of course, they say in verse 3 that, you know, isn't this the carpenter's son and the son of Mary? The carpenter and the son of Mary and the brother of James. And, he, you know, they knew his family. It'd be like, you know, you going to your hometown and coming down and, you know, going down to the synagogue and teaching. And they'll be like, well, you know, that's Cameron. We know him. He grew up here. Look, his family's here. You know, who basically, and in a way, they're saying, who does he think he is, right? He's just one of us. You know, he's going about now and people think he's famous or whatever, but they weren't so impressed. And that's why Jesus says in verse 4, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. But notice verse 5. This is where it's something that I think we should pay attention to. He says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So he did heal some people. He did have compassion on them. But it says he could do no mighty work. You know, he was doing mighty works all around. But when he was in Nazareth, he didn't. Because why? Well, verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages teaching. So we see there that, you know, it was kind of according to their faith, in the sense that he, you know, there wasn't much belief there. It wasn't, they didn't come to him. You know, there may be a few sick folk that came, but they didn't come to him for much because they didn't believe. They weren't impressed, and they didn't have faith. And what I'm trying to say to us is that, you know, a lot of times I think people miss out of some of the things God would want to do in your life simply because of your unbelief. You see that? Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11 and let's learn a little bit about what kind of faith this is that pleases God. We see in verse 1 a description of what faith is. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The word substance, it literally has the idea, that Greek word that's translated substance, has the idea of that which stands under. That's what Strong says, that which stands under. In other words, it's that foundation. It gives substance, it gives support to something. It has some structure. It's a solid foundation. That's what faith is. It's not saying there that faith is built on solid foundation. It's faith is that solid foundation. Now, it is built on a solid foundation. We'll talk about that in a minute. But faith gives us something to stand on. And I wanted to point out something. Look back up the page, or maybe it's on the previous page, in chapter 10 in verse 34. From last week, we saw here, he says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have a better, that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Right there, he talks a little bit about their faith. He said, you know, you were willing to let people spoil your substance down here. And we talked about what that means, you know, that they spoiled, they might have, you know, stolen, I think is really kind of what he's talking about. People were stealing from them, maybe, you know, in their persecution, taking things from them or wrecking their things, spoiling them in the sense of destroying them, however they did it. He said, you endured that. You know, you didn't let that bother you because you understand you have a greater substance in heaven. You have things laid up for you there. So the stuff down here is less important. Are you with me? And, you know, so he's saying that's by faith. How did they have a confidence that there was something better waiting them in heaven? Because, well, they hadn't seen it. They believed it through faith, right? And so he says, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. It's almost like verse 6, that we come to God because we believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so this is the kind of faith, this substance. It means probably a good word to think about is the word assurance. There's a confidence or an assurance of things hoped for. And faith gives us that assurance that what we hope for will happen. Faith hopes when there's no tangible support for that hope. In other words, there's nothing you can grab a hold of, you know, like tangible, but there's a hope because faith lays hold of that by faith. It's kind of like in Romans chapter 4 in verse 18, he says here that who against hope believed in hope. Think about that, against hope. You know, everything was against having hope, but they believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. And of course, he was talking about Abraham. Now, let me say this. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark. Faith is not, we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God, right? We have faith in his promises. We talked about this on Thursday night, but So real biblical faith is faith that's solid because it's based on the Word of God. It's based on the character of God. It's based on God. And that's where our faith is. Faith in God is supported by the understanding of God and His promises. And it's kind of like the little song, if Jesus said it, I'll believe it. God's Word never lies. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. So we believe it without seeing it. I just think about, there's so many illustrations of that, but I was thinking about Peter one night in Acts chapter 12. Peter was lying in prison. You remember that Herod had captured James and put him to death, and it sort of pleased the people, so he put Peter in prison, and intending to bring Peter out and kill him. So It was the next day. Peter was in the prison that night with the knowledge that tomorrow morning, Herod's going to bring you out and chop off your head. What would you do? Well, what did Peter do? Peter was so fast asleep that when the angel came, he had to kick him or hit him. He says he smote him in the side and said, "Wake up." And even when he woke up, you remember that story how Peter got up and he said, "Gird yourself, get your clothes, and let's go." And Peter walks out and the gates open and he gets out in the street and the angel disappears. And Peter still isn't quite sure if he's dreaming or what, remember? And so what I see there is that, you know, here's a guy knowing that tomorrow Herod plans to kill you and he's asleep, sound asleep. Some of you just, you know, have some little thing going on tomorrow and you can't sleep a lick, hardly. But Peter was fast asleep. And someone might ask Peter, how is it that you could just sleep so soundly on the night, you know, before your execution? And I think Peter would have told you this. He probably would have said, "Herod's not going to cut my head off. Jesus already told me. Back in John chapter 21, that when I was old, they were going to crucify me." So he said, "You know, Herod can't cut my head off because Jesus told me I'm going to be crucified, you know? So cheer up." But he had faith, even though everything looked like, you know, and Herod had it all planned. But Peter knew that that wasn't what God said. You see, that's faith. That has hope, even an assurance of things not seen. Paul, on board the ship to Rome, the ship got in such a ferocious storm, so ferocious of a storm, it had a name. And you know when they name storms, that's pretty bad, right? This one was called Euroclydon. It was a wind, a fierce wind, a storm, And it went on for days. They fasted for 14 days and they threw all their tackling out of the ship. You know, when they start throwing the tackling out of the ship, that means all the equipment they use to sail. That, you know, you're desperate. They'd already took the cargo and tossed it overboard. Now they're throwing their instruments overboard. I mean, they're just, you know, they really thought they were going to die. But an angel came to Paul that night and said, "Paul, fear not, you're going to make it to Rome. And you're going to stand before Caesar. And a matter of fact, I'm going to give you everybody on board. I'm going to spare their life for your sake." And so Paul went to those 276 guys on the ship and he said, "Listen, men, none of you are going to die, not a one of you." And of course they'd say, "How do you know that, Paul?" "Because God told me." Now I don't know if they believed it, but Paul believed it. You see, he had a substance to his faith. He had a faith that stood, and so he took some food and he ate it and he said, "Quit fasting, eat something. You're going to need the strength." And the Bible says they did. They rejoiced and they ate. But that's faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Things that seem impossible. Things that you can't see. You know, I can't see how a virgin can have a child, but I believe Mary did. I can't see how Lazarus, after being dead for 4 days in the grave, could come back to life, but I believe he did. It's faith. That's what faith is. We know what faith is, basically, right? We believe, we trust God. And so, verse 1 tells us it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We already gave you verse number 2. These elders, by faith, it was not their deeds, it was not their wisdom, it wasn't their character, it was their faith that brought them into this chapter. The whole reason they're here. So first of all, we see this, what faith is. And then secondly, there's another thing we can see by faith, and that is verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The faith that pleases God is also a faith that believes God created the universe, right? That takes faith. None of us were there. Nobody, none of the scientists were there either. But we have faith. We accept that by faith. Even though, you know, we have to accept it by faith. We have more evidence than the evolutionists do, I believe. They actually have to exercise a little more faith than you and I. Now, he says there it was framed by the word of God. How did God create the worlds? How did God create the heaven and the earth? By the word of his mouth. The Bible's pretty clear on that. And he says, you know, things that are or appear came from things that don't appear. Basically, it means that he didn't start with any material. He just spoke it all into existence. He created everything from nothing. That's creation. I heard someone tell of three scientists that went to God and said, you know, we're gonna create a man out of the dust just like you did. And they reached down to get a handful of dust, and God said, "Well, wait a minute. You get your own dust." And so, you know, God made everything out of nothing. He just simply spoke it. And, you know, that's clear in Genesis. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." He just breathed it into existence. It's like the Bible is God breathed. He said, "Let it be, let there be light," and it was there. Just last night, a man asked me, he said, "How old was Adam when he was created?" And I said, "Well, you mean like 2 minutes after he was created?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, technically, he was 2 minutes old." But he said, no, you know what I mean. I mean, he was a man, not a baby, right?" And I said, "Yeah, that's right. Adam was created on day 6, and Eve was created, and, you know, they got married right away. They weren't babies. They weren't, you know, little infants. God created Adam, a full-grown man." And, you know, I think I think it's probably reasonable to say that when God created the earth, He made the universe to appear to scientists, I guess, to be old. You know, they think the world, the universe, is 4 billion years old. It may look that way. Adam might have looked 40, but he wasn't. The world might look 4 billion, but it's not. But God just created it fully formed. You know what I'm saying? All the mountains, all the everything was formed just by the word of his mouth. And, you know, things that they figure must take a long time to form, he formed them all in an instant. And so we just believe. We believe with faith that this is what God says, this is what the Bible says. He was the only one there on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Adam shows up on day 6, but, you know, he was there. He said, "Let us." He was there, the Son was there, the Spirit was there. Let us make man in our image. So, you know, we understand this. We know this by faith. The evolutionists have to exercise faith. When they talk to you about creation versus evolution, it's not a matter of faith versus knowledge. It's not like you have faith and we have science, we have knowledge. It's really faith versus faith. See, for them to believe what they believe, it takes faith. Because the evidence doesn't support it. But they believe it to be true. But, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe that nothing times nothing equals everything? Or God times nothing equals everything? Well, I'll believe the second one. And so this is what faith is. This is what faith does. Faith hopes in. Faith grabs a hold of things that you can't see, things you can't touch, and understands that because of God, God is able, God who spoke the world into existence. And somebody said, I remember back in Bible college, a preacher said this, and he said, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, then you can believe the rest of the Bible. If you believe God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, if he's able to do that, then can he heal the blind and feed the 5,000 and do all those things? Of course he can. And so it's important to go back to Genesis sometimes. Well, we are going to get out of here early. I think at this point I can say that. Because we're down to the last point, and all this is realize the reward of faith. In verse 6, I just want to point out again that the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. Now, just note that for a minute, impossible. Somewhere, and where is it? It's in Romans, where God, the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I think it's in Romans. I'm going to say 14, see if somebody can find it. And I could be wrong. But, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Isn't that interesting when you think about that? Faith is important. It's important that we believe. This is God's commandment, that you believe. But faith, what does faith do? It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So real faith comes to God. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, this is a description of faith. If you want a definition of faith, look at chapter 12 and verse 3. Or, is it verse 3? No, verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that preacher said, really what faith is simply this, looking unto Jesus. That's faith. Faith comes to God. They that come to God must believe. Obviously, you know, I've said this probably before years ago, but I know at a point in my life, I used to be praying and I would think to myself, I'd say, Lord, I'm not just speaking words into the air. I mean, I would, you know, if prayer would be a silly thing if you didn't really believe God was listening, right? You'd be just talking to yourself. You'd be in your closet mumbling, and people would say, "What is wrong with that guy?" If God wasn't listening, if we didn't believe God heard prayer, then prayer would be silly. Right? Of course. And that's the way unbelievers think about it, probably. They think, well, what's he doing? Why is he in there mumbling? Nobody's listening to him. No, God's listening. Faith comes to God. And faith seeks God. And we seek God because we know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's the reward of faith? I put down three things and we're going to wrap it up. First reward, of course, is salvation. We're saved by faith. When we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for our sins, the Bible promises us that we shall be saved. Saved by grace through faith. And so the first reward is salvation. Another reward is peace. There's peace that comes by believing. We talked about it on Thursday. How to not fret. Because, you know, you trust in the Lord. When Jesus and the disciples were out on the sea and the sea got a storm, not a euroclodon, but it was a storm that the disciples feared they were going to perish. And Jesus got up and calmed the storm and he just simply said, "Where is your faith? Where's your faith? Where'd it go? Where, you know, how come you don't have it?" But faith brings an inner peace during the storms of life. And then another reward, the third reward of faith is power. By faith, they had the hand of God upon their lives. And that's what we find in this chapter. They had the hand of God upon them that gave them victory over their enemy, victory over their circumstances, victory over dangers, God's hand working upon their life because of their faith. Faith brought them those things. Faith brought them salvation. Faith brought them peace. Faith brought them the empowering work of God upon their lives. And so how important is it for us to have faith? Well, it's very important. And so we might say, like the one man in the Bible who said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Increase our faith. And I do think I still need more faith to, you know, did somebody find that verse? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Where is it, Cameron? What?
14:23.
14:23, okay. So, you know, when we sin, it's often due to unbelief. You ever think about that? Why do we listen to the devil's temptations? Why did Eve eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, she believed the lie because she fumbled in her trust. If she, you know what I'm saying? If she would have trusted what God said, if she would have said to the devil, "No, wait a second, God said, don't eat it. God said, don't, because in the day you do, you'll die." The devil said, "No, you won't surely die." Who did she believe? She believed Satan. And she sinned. And so many times when we sin, if you really trace it down to the root, you say, you know, why don't I trust God more? Why didn't I trust him that his way is the right way? What he said is true, and I won't listen to the temptations. Because, you know, you think this will bring you happiness. You think this will be fun. You think this will, but it doesn't. God says it brings misery and disgrace. And you say, I'm going to just believe God. And I'm not going to fall to that lie, that temptation. So it's very important that we have faith. To please God, remember what faith is, recognize God as the creator, and realize the reward of faith. Let's pray.